Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, everybody, we have made it to another Friday. We in New York are dealing with slush and snowbanks and ice, and we are making it through. So for those of you that are still trying to trudge around in this disastrous area, get home safely, be okay. God bless you all. May you all get to where you need to go in one piece. All right, shouting out Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio, currently with isoradio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is gracing New York with the best of live R&B events. And Tuesday night was no exception. The So You Think You Can Sing competition was absolutely a phenomenal success. And congratulations once again to the winner, Stephanie Jano, and the runner-up, Jessica Jones. These two ladies were outstanding in the midst of outstanding competition, so I want to thank them. To those of you who were not on the panel yesterday, we will be having a special tribute to those that did not win but were absolutely fantastic on Sunday. And the showcase will be on Sunday. Mostly it will be these people being live on the panel to speak about all the things that they have done and, you know, how the competition works for them in the whole nine. So, you know, those of you that have been avid supporters of our Saturday showcase, this week it will be broadcast at a special time on Sunday. And I do want to thank you because these kids have been feeling wonderful knowing that people are actually listening to their music and the entrepreneurs hearing that they are being listed out there. So thank you all very much. To my wonderful social media group that's out there, first let's talk to our new group that's for the show, the On the Edge Show Listeners Lounge. You guys have been awesome and wonderful in helping me get that started. To the Black Love and Conversations group with their admin, Linda Miller, and Red, who you guys have heard be on the panel quite a few times. You guys have been awesome, awesome, awesome. And I want to thank you very much for that forum and that show that you have out there. To the Real World Black News and Discussions group, the Black History Suppressed group, the Black Capitalist N group, and the Higher Research Science Institute, thank all of you for all that you have done and the contributions you have given to me off the air and on the air. I want to thank Salo Jenkins, Zeddy Williams, Lady Diamond, Lynn Yeves, Monster Miles, DJ Domek, and Rodney Williams for his musical contributions to the show. Awesome people to deal with. Definitely can't be anywhere without them. Regardless of whether or not you hear them, they are active and wonderfully contributory to everything that we do here. So I want to thank you very much. And I want to thank every one of you who joined in our live community hall broadcast yesterday, because it was a very important topic and things got so deep in discussion, and we are definitely trying to promote and create awareness and activism in a way that counts. Our children are in trouble. We are the people that dropped the ball. We need to pick it up and get together. And those of you who were listening in and actively participating, I want to thank you very much for that. Even those that weren't parents and weren't New York City residents actually loaned support via inboxes or chat room board things, and we definitely want to thank you all for that because every voice counts. All right. Well, tonight we are going to be discussing yet another issue that affects our youth and our community. We're definitely trying to promote awareness and definitely trying to get a message out to all of those people out there who are using our community support, financially or otherwise, to be where they are, but yet they are giving the worst of messages in their actions. So let's talk about this. A, in Queens, New York, PS 201 in Flushing, Queens, and yes, I'm putting you on blast, had the audacity to tell their students that for Black History Month, they were not allowed to use Malcolm X as a subject for any Black History project. Now, Malcolm X, we all know, is one of the prominent leaders and definitely an intricate part of Black history and one of our most prominent civil rights leaders. And so many, I call it blanket BS, excuses were made as to their decision. But as it stands right now, a lot of hell and hoopla was given to the school, so I believe that all of that has been reversed. I haven't seen any updates yet. If anybody listening has seen the updates, kindly post them to me so that I can update the information on the show. So we're going to speak about that tonight, and we're also going to speak about Nicki Minaj being controversial yet again, only this time I believe she went too far. We have all known Nicki Minaj to be sexually out there. She's outrageous, you know, be it that, may that be her niche on stage, her personality, whatever it is going on with her, but to take the iconic photo of Malcolm X defending his home for his life with an AK-47 and use it in a controversial video that, A, seemed to, and I did say seemed to, promote violence against the very Black man that, the Black men that Malcolm X stood to protect or to fight for, as well as, of course, putting in that sexual overtone into it. So she was given much hell for that, including by people who actually support her. And on top of that, her tweets on Twitter didn't seem to be very apologetic, although it was under the mask of an apology. Now, an official apology has been released by her, which to me seems very watered down and generic and possibly obligatory to keep herself not too far away from, you know, being in the good eyes of her fans. So I want all of you to discuss that tonight and to tell me what it is that you think of it. And the question tonight on the table is, are Black success icons being used as the very missiles for mass community destruction? And what I mean by that is everything that we have been discussing as to why the Black community stays stagnated, stays oppressed, stays neutral, and stays unprogressive in a lot of ways. Is it because every one of us that managed to make it out there and become successful in a very large way, instead of giving back to their communities, they're being sucked up or caught up into the very people that seem to be taken from us and not giving back? Is this the new catalyst militant group that's coming back at us through their professions? That is the question that I have on the table. And also, what is it saying for us when not enough of us are beefing about the fact that a educational facility, after trying to erase Black history from textbooks, is now trying to stop children from using Malcolm X or anyone like that as a subject for Black History Month? That's the question. So you guys all know how this works, and we are going to go out in our pre-broadcast break song and ask a word from our sponsors. When we get back, we will get this discussion started, and I do hope that all of you will be in to share your thoughts on the air with each other, with a bunch of people who are just as concerned about this as you are. Going out with Cher Lloyd and T.I. with I Wish, and I'll be back right after the break from our sponsors. Don't go away.
Hi. Make a wish, girl. You deserve it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Baby, I can let you go with. Wish that I never did. Freaking perfect and 5'10". Just wanna punch your lip. Yeah. Cause I know I've been wasting time trying to catch your eye. Yeah, I know that I've been so blind thinking that I'm your type. And now I'm at home, I'm all alone. About to pick up the telephone. Got to call my genie so he knows. Yeah, I wish I was taller, I wish I was fast. Wish I could jump with a bag. My Nike on.
something, baby, with the roof gone, baby. Aston Martin look retarded like the crew gone crazy. I'm not sure what kind of fella you like, but I can get you paradise, heaven, however you like. I'm talking solitaire, ice, got a ring, white necklace. And I'm talking reckless, girl, I'm certified respect, girl. You like to run your mouth when you about to learn a lesson, girl. You the one, but I don't place you in a second, girl. And I ain't even trying to see you naked, girl, wait. There I go, exaggerate, clearly carried away. But what I'm saying, you can true that. I wanna be wherever you at, so you wishing you could kiss me. Do you really wanna do that? Make a wish, girl.
Yeah, I wish I was fine, and I wish I was fine. Yeah. With the good shots, with the bad, with the cat. Cause if I want you, I gotta have that.
You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On The Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help run their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more on the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On The Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, that was Cher Lloyd and T.I. with I Wish, and you heard from our sponsors. Now we are on and popping, ready for this discussion. All right, I'm going to actually start off with the school that decided that Malcolm X was not a qualified subject for students to write about or speak about or discuss for, wait for it, Black History Month. Now, we all are aware of everything that seems to be a problem for the Black community. We know about the outside situations, but here's the deal. We have gotten to the point now where America, as a wait for it free country, is not allowing certain people to be free. Even past the laws of, you know, people not being enslaved anymore or not allowed to be in certain areas because of their skin color, we all know that that fight has been taken to other plateaus. The thing is, parents now have the right to fight a whole different fight. And it's not about race and so much as it is about the fact that now our education is being affected once again a little more. Parents are stepping up, and which I was really glad to hear that in this respect, the parents didn't sit down and take it lightly. You know, people were questioning. But where the hell these educational facilities have the audacity to even believe they can pull something like this. Now, the good news is that this teacher apparently has a lot to answer for and has to make a public apology. Now, I don't think a public apology anymore is worth the paper that it's written on or the words that it's spoken from, because I don't believe these people are coming forth because they're really sorry about something they feel they're accountable for. I think it's to keep them out of the super blacklist. Okay? As a parent, regardless of what my beliefs are, if I'm a teacher and I'm teaching something, my job isn't to infiltrate my own personal beliefs into something that's supposed to be a textbook curriculum. My job is to teach it as I've been told to teach it. And parents, here's where we step in. Okay? Forget the fact that we're speaking about, you know, doing for the community. This is your child. Now, for what the teachers and the school system says is a restriction, as a parent to your child, you have the right to say, hell no, that's not what the deal is. This is what took place. Your grandfather lived it. Your grandmother lived it. I lived it. This is what's going on. Your child needs to have every aspect of the proper tools in place to allow them to grow up with a well-balanced knowledge of something and let them make their own decisions, as we have to let them go when they get older. So for a school to believe that this is something that they can manipulate is a problem. Black History Month, whether you racists like it or not, exists. And we don't have the right, you don't have the right to tell some child that they can't pick the black icon or the civil rights leader or historian of their choice to write about. Where on earth these school leaders feel that they have the right to put this out there and say this and do whatever it is that they want to do. Meanwhile, back on the home ranch, we have a school in Nevada trying to force children to cross-dress to promote awareness for gays and lesbians and things to that effect, but yet something that is teaching their children about who they are or what was a part of history being in the American forte is a problem. That's the question. Now, I personally believe that not only should that teacher have to apologize, but apology is not enough. I believe that teacher should go back, get some sensitivity training, some real historian training and the whole nine. And somebody needs to send her back to wherever it is that they teach people how to filter out their personal problems versus what they need to be teaching. If a boss tells you that you got to leave your sickness, your problems at home, your whatever at home when you come to work, the teacher should be able to do the same damn thing when they're teaching your child in what's supposed to be the 8 hours that you entrust your child's life thinking and well-being to someone else while the law says that needs to happen. Bringing in our first panelist of the evening, and we will get this discussion started. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, Katie. How are you?
Hey, BC. Welcome back.
Well, I'm not speaking from parental point of view, because I'm not a parent. I'm speaking from an outside observer and what I see going on in school systems today. I have many African-American teacher friends, associates, and I listen to them discuss, how challenging their jobs are. And over and above everything else, the school board specifically decides what textbooks are allowable, what curriculum will be taught, et cetera. That being stated, as long as we as African Americans are not equally represented on the school boards, we don't have much say-so as to, you know, whether or not African-American History Month includes the truth there are any books that reference it, et cetera. I am putting it back. My position I'm going to take on this subject is I'm putting it back on the African-American community to become more involved. I know that there are some that are very involved, but as a whole, we are not as involved as we need to be.
Right. But I will say that respect, this teacher actually acted on her own, because this wasn't a school-wide thing. This was a specific individual classroom thing, because the parents of those students in that particular teacher's class actually had to go and discuss the reasons why this was going on. And I don't know if, you know, maybe it was the school's decision, but when the hoopla came out, they put her under the bus or whatever, but according to them, this was an individual choice on the teacher's part. Which brings to the front page the question of why aren't these school boards screening more of their teachers' backgrounds or ways of thinking? I mean, listen, if you have to go through a criminal background check just to get into, and credit checks and all these other things to get into a regular corporate business, why on earth aren't they taking these type of jobs, which is sensitive considering it's involving children? You know, to be just as serious.
Katie. That question, come on now with that question. They hire and give guns, lethal weapons, to people who they do not psychologically screen. They may ask them a question or two or have them take a paper test, etc., but if there was screening done, we wouldn't have police out here targeting, you know, minority youth, killing minority youth, et cetera. So I'm not going to get on that subject, but to directly address what you asked, at the point of it being identified that it was the teacher acting on her own, then as parents of that school, as African-American parents, it was then incumbent upon them to request her to be removed from the school system, have her job taken. When people are in fear for their jobs, they are better able to put aside their personal likes, dislikes, their personal agendas. You know, you have to follow the rules or you're going to lose your job. It's obvious to me that, you know, the school system, school boards may sanction or punish, you know, these teachers, slap them on the wrist and say, yeah, well, don't do this, don't do that, et cetera. But because the African-American community is not coming together and standing strong and protesting and having requiring school board meetings, et cetera, that's all that's going to be done, a slap on the wrist. We need to have these teachers that have their own agenda and their own way of doing things and their own beliefs removed.
Indeed, and I'm going to touch back on something you just said, and there's another panelist waiting to come in. Touching back on what you said, if people are in fear of their jobs, they would be better, better able to serve from an objective angle. But if in the same token, you brought up another example that proves how that really doesn't stand either, because the cops know what their jobs are. The cops know what consequences are, but they're busy covering up a whole lot of stuff in advance. So I'm not sure if it's that, but I will say one thing that I agree with, and to take it to another level, not only are parents obligated to have put on the school to have that teacher removed, but then again, parents should also put on the school a board of accountability, meaning that before you start filling in slots that's going to take care of my children for 8 hours a damn day, you need to make sure that you know who you're putting in those positions. And it goes a little further than that. It's a lot more, and it does fall back on the parents, too, as well, to open them up. You mentioned school board meetings, one of the forums that parents rarely show up to. Those that have those strong school board meetings get results. regardless of what race, oppression, or whatever the case is, when you have enough of a presence, you get that. Just give me a minute. Let me bring in the panelists in for their turn. 1 second. Welcome to the show, Cole. You on the air? Hello? Okay, go ahead, DC.
Well, you touched on the fact that the police still do those things, and they know the possibility of them, being not only losing their jobs, but, being criminally charged, et cetera. Cops think that they are smarter than everybody else. They think that they can cover things up, okay? So that's why you have police officers who are hired and pass all these psychological exams, et cetera, giving guns, and they then go out on the street and start murdering our youth. And thinking about schools, school systems, the screening for teachers is, I can't say how stringent it is, but the screening for teachers, it is just like I would say if you or I were going to apply for a job at a regular company. And the reason I say that is if the screening was deeper, you wouldn't have teachers being hired to teach children who have felony criminal records. You wouldn't have teachers that come into the schools and start having sex with their students. You wouldn't have a lot of these things. So, having a teacher that is maybe a little biased as far as her race or his race is concerned, that is a small slip compared to the other things that are going on in the school systems, and why, again, and it's, I'm going to take away the color thing. Let's remove color. It's because the parental participation is at an all-time low. Parents are not, volunteering to sit in classes. Back when I was in school, I would want to hang myself. I'd be getting dressed to go to school, and my mom be getting dressed, and I'd be like, Mom, where are you going today? She's like, to school with you. Today's my day to volunteer in your classroom. Oh, my God. My mother knew what was going on in my classroom. She didn't have to hear about it. She knew, and I'm sure your mom was just as involved, et cetera. Now, I understand parents have to work. They can't miss time off of work. But there's a delicate balance that has to be found. Somebody has to start looking over the shoulder of the school system and demanding that minority students are given everything that they need to be given as far as cultural, so they're, they know their heritage, they know their background. And to deny a Malcolm X from a curriculum, especially during Black History Month, really, that was egregious. Not just bad, not, hey, we might need to take a look at this, but egregious, especially because it was part of the curriculum.
And they went even further. She went even further. And see, this is where the other half of race does come into the situation. Not only did she try to find an excuse as to why she would come up with this, but then she tried to degrade Malcolm X's legacy by saying, I made this decision because Malcolm X was considered violent. Are you kidding me? And just to let you know, they do try to bring down Black History Month, even in Black History Month. And I'm going to give you an example. What you just spoke about with your mother dressing to go with you to school. Well, my children had it worse because not only was I constantly volunteering at all the little junior dances and everything, but I was a PTA-involved executive board member for 4 years, two of them of which I was the president. Okay? I've had, if I could tell you about the principal of this school that was in Richmond Hill, Queens, this president, this principal and I butted heads because, A, I read those long bylaws and memorized it, and I was so involved that when I was giving birth to my 9-year-old, then she was a baby, I actually called the chancellor's parent director. Because the principal and I had gotten into a headbutting session about the rules of what we could do. When I clearly knew that the chancellor's regulations were, the principal can't interfere with a damn thing we do unless it poses immediate danger to the children. So what I said was, we wanted to create a Black History Month event, but because there were more like other cultures in there, we decided to call that night really a family night honoring Black history so that people could bring, you know, different foods from their cultures and everything. But the person that was the guest speaker for that night was Deja Vu from 103.1 or something like 105.1 in New York. And first, this lady tried to tell me that I wasn't allowed to have a family newsletter honoring the Black History Month because some people didn't allow their children's birthdays and things to that effect to be celebrated based on religious beliefs, which I rebutted with, well, according to this, they have to sign a permission slip allowing the information to be released or not. Secondly, she tried everything in her power to stop me from bringing this Black radio DJ down as the guest speaker of family night and turned the notes up, did everything she could, including trying to recruit 4 non-African-American parents to heckle me at the event until a couple of the parents who were very appreciative of what I was doing actually forewarned me because I was just had the baby, so I really couldn't come out at the time or whatever. So I called the chancellor's office from the hospital room and asking this woman, is what we were doing okay? Wasn't it in compliance with the rules? And was the principal being out of whack or was she correct? When she heard all the doctor's paging going on in the background, she said, are you in the hospital or something? I said, yeah, I just gave birth about 3 hours ago. She says, wait a minute. You're calling me from the hospital to give in birth to ask me about chancellor's regulations? I said, yes, because this is important to me, and I need to know if we're doing the right thing and if we're in compliance. She said, oh, my God, what's your name? When she found out my name from that day forward, she, you know, everything that I was doing, she knew. The point was this lady, this Italian woman, tried everything in her power to tell me as a parent, president, okay, what our parents were not allowed to do with our own children's information in our own history month. But in the meantime, all of her non-African American teachers were posting personal information on the walls where people come into the schools unannounced that have nothing to do with the schools and can see all of that posted on a public bulletin board. She did everything she could to stop the Black History Month from going forward.
See, Katie, it goes back, and I'm going to be as brief as possible with this. It goes back to when we got the right to vote, all right? That was progress being made. Then they killed Martin. They killed JFK. They killed Malcolm. And the generation that was, say, 40 to 50 when all that happened, they said, okay, what we need to do is we need to kind of just be good, be quiet, work the jobs that we're allowed to work, and raise our kids, all right? Years went by, and the focus on African-American history or Black history became less and less. All right. Why? Because, number one, if we're aware of what happened to our ancestors, we'll be outraged and we won't be quiet and we won't be good. Number two, whites would have to be ashamed of what was done to us to relive African-American history or Black history. Those are two reasons why the focus was taken off of Black history after the 60s, all right? 60s and 70s, and then after the 70s, issue much anymore to teach about African American history, especially if you went to an integrated school. Wasn't an issue, all right? And today, they do it because it's politically correct to do, but they don't want to tell the truth, because if they tell the truth, they have to tell the truth about four little black girls in church being blown up and never having an opportunity to live. If they tell the truth, they have to tell all these other truths. So if you understand the core of the problem, at least you're one step closer to really addressing the problem and coming up with some possible resolutions. In my opinion, that is what the core of the problem is. You know, as time goes forward, African-American history is going to be even less focused on. We might even lose February as being African-American History Month. Okay?
I'm going to go a step further on that one. I'm going to go a step further on that one, and then our panelists has rejoined us. I'm going to tell you this. I was a student, an elementary student in the 70s. And I will say that black history was proud and prominent in everybody that was involved. You saw massive pictures that little kids drew in the six-figure version. You saw as the older grades got there, more and more, you know, more mature creations were made. And it was something to be proud of. It was all over the commercials. It was all over everywhere. And I'm going to tell you where I think the real problem lies. Somewhere down the line, we as the parents of the next generation stop making noise. I remember PTA meetings being filled to the hills when it was happening. I remember town hall meetings being packed with standing room only back in those days. But I will say that we dropped the ball. We stopped complaining. We stopped pushing. We stopped complaining. We stopped, like you said, there has to be a delicate balance between having to work and at one point in time saying, listen, boss, today I've got to do something. And go to your child. We can't be in the classrooms like our parents used to be, because our parents back then were more housewives, were more involved with being at-home mothers, because there were more two-parent households at the time. But we stopped teaching about it. We stopped making noise. Okay, now you were going to say before I bring our panelists in.
No, I'm asking you a question. Your school that you went to, was it mostly black? Was it integrated? Was it mostly white?
It was integrated very, very, very well. It was Spanish, mostly black and Spanish, and some Indians. Indian culture.
Okay.
Be it from India, be it Indian Trini, be it Indian Guyanese, it was that type of demographics at that time. And black history was prominent. And not just in my school, but even in other schools that were more white. I will say that. Everywhere we went, even the TV network allowed for Martin Luther King's picture to be posted during Black History Month, for Rosa Parks to be honored, for Harriet Tubman to come out. Things were not banned like they are now.
Now, that was in New York, correct?
Yeah, in New York. I lived in New York. I don't know.
Right. I grew up in Maryland, all right, 3 hours south of here. I was in high school in the 70s, all right? Girl, please, I can't remember even elementary school black history. I can't remember junior high school black history. I definitely can't remember my high school was probably two-thirds white. You know, I definitely don't remember celebration of black history or even studying. Well, no, there was a black history club and there was a black history class, but that was just about it. And I graduated from a class of 550, and there was no focus, even in 1979, all right, no focus whatsoever on black history I went to. And again, my parent my mother, at least, was very active in, you know, school, whatever. All right? It's the mindset. One more thing, real quick. I lost total respect for my father. My father was a very deep, good provider. He worked his tail off to give financially, support financially his family. My father was born in the 20s, right around the Depression, and he drove to Georgia to visit me when I built my first house in Georgia. He wanted to see the house, came to Georgia, and my next-door neighbors were white, and they came over, they saw my dad's car, and they came over to meet my father. And after they left, my father looked at me and said, "I'm so proud of you." And I said, "Why is that, Daddy?" I figured, because of the house, because of the job, you know, whatever. He said, "You got white people that like you." Wow. I lost all respect right at that point. I'm like, "Oh, wow. What century did you come out of?" You know, so I use that example to show you how Depression era, we were free. But we weren't free because our minds were locked that we were less than white people. And as things started moving forward with civil rights and Black Power and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and, you know, things got better for us, but the thinking of the people who lived back then never changed. And in some cases, they passed that thinking on to their children. My father and I didn't get along. Why? Because I didn't think the way he thought, and I sure didn't like that, all right? So he didn't pass that on to me, but other people, his contemporaries, I'm sure passed that on. So these are the people who are my age, who may have a college-age child that are not trying to impress upon their child their own Black history, all right? So you have, you know, 19, 20-year-olds, you have 15-year-olds that don't know a daggone thing about Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey. I could go down the list. They don't know a thing about it. They don't
and
know
I
a thing
say,
about it.
I will say one thing with regards to your father. He did come from an era where all they did was pretty much appreciate just being free, and they didn't really know more. There was no ways of being cultivated. But now I want to say this. With this generation of parents, okay, this generation of parents, we do have the right. We may not be impressing upon our children the importance of Black history as we should, but let's take that out for 1 minute, and so let's go down to something even more basic. The right for a child to express themselves in writing, in presenting a project, should not be something that a teacher takes away from them. Now, if we're speaking about a specific target situation, which is Black History Month, and you're speaking about a Black icon, because of the fact that this teacher did not like the particular person that the children were picking, did not give her the right to take away their right to express what they felt like doing. And that is one thing. I've known plenty of people that they write about stuff that would be, let's call it a shock therapy type factor. You may not like it, but that's what that child is expressing. Now, unless they're walking around saying, "I'm going to kill everybody at the end of the day with a bomb and do whatever," nobody is supposed to be telling your child what to do in a project unless it goes against the guidelines of what the project is asking for. But to say to a child,
she was wrong. She should have been completely removed from the school system. She should have lost her right to teach because she went against the curriculum and she made a biased judgment. I agree 100%. But she was able to do that because she figured nobody would pull on it. Well, nobody's going to know.
She got a surprise and a half. Need to bring in our other panelists at the moment, so hang on a minute. Welcome to the show, Corby. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, everyone, and good evening, Lady Barnett.
Sorry for my
delay. I was on earlier, but some things came up that I had to take care of, so my apologies.
No problem, sir. What's your take on the first part of tonight's topic?
Well, I missed quite a bit, so you want to bring me up to speed a little bit?
Yes. Well, we're speaking about two things tonight. One is the Queens Elementary School that's trying to deny the students from writing about Malcolm X for Black History Month, and that's the first half of the show today. So what's your take on that?
Okay, well, first of all, I D.C., hello, how are you, and God bless you.
Hey. God bless you.
I'd like to comment on some points that D.C. made as far as with the Black history in the schools, and the point that she made was that the whites are really fearful. That's what they're dealing with, period, is fear. And fear is a very strange animal. And if they have to teach in the schools about our Black history, there's a lot of stuff they're going to have to reveal and a lot of stuff they want to cover up, and that's not possible. If you're going to teach Black history, you have to give it to them raw. You can't just halfway give it no kind of way. And how could you imagine a white person, and I'm going to put a white person in a position like this, that basically is a racist and is in front of a classroom of mostly Black children, and you're trying to teach them about Black history and the degradation that they did against our people, and some of the just monstrous stuff that they put us through. Do you think they're going to stand up there and want to tell the truth? No, that's not going to happen. And in today's society, what they're doing is still a lot of covering up. And as we as a people, if we don't start standing up and start teaching our own and not relying on the white man to teach them about our history, we're just going to fade away.
Yeah.
We're just going to fade away. So it's on us. Let us stop looking at they, and let's start looking at us to teach our children about our Black history, because we have a very rich heritage, and it needs to be taught, and it needs to strive, and it needs to continue on living as far as memory, as far as the memory goes. Because if we don't, they would rather see us disappear and just turn into dust. And the way things are going today, that's exactly what's happening, and they're sitting back with a big smile on their face.
And, you know, I think what outraged me more reading on it is that in order to cover up this outrageous and ridiculous imposition, they went so far as to try to scar up the legacy of Malcolm X. It's a disrespect.
Yes.
I don't care what it is that you don't agree with. There are many things that took place in history, period, that your own people weren't good at doing. Like you said, DC, yes, a lot of it will have to reveal their part in it, what bad stuff they did. But even with all that being said, you cannot take that personal thing and take away a child's right to pick a person that they admire or whatever for something that's supposed to be celebrating that culture. Okay?
Well,
there are people that don't like the way Native Americans go, but during Native American whatever week they have to deal with it. During Thanksgiving, when people are talking about, let's bring up a report about Thanksgiving in America, they bring up pilgrims and they bring up the Native Americans. Why? Because history says that's how Thanksgiving began in America.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the right.
You know, she also made a case about, okay, I'll bring this up. When I was going to school, not many times were we taught about our Black history when I was going to school. You know, and as a matter of fact, I can't even remember when I was going to school that they even brought up a Black History Month.
Right.
Is we've come to a point to where, okay, we made some progress, true enough, but when I was going to school, that was like, if if somebody wanted to teach about Black history, it was one of the very few Black teachers that we had that we would hear it from. And then they had to do it like almost secretive because they were in fear of losing their job.
Hey, that you know, puts me in my place that in slavery time being, you know, secretly going off and teaching each other to read. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And, well, and basically a lot of that is still going on today, but like I said, it comes back to us. It's our responsibility to teach our young people about our Black heritage and the history of it and what we had to go through, because a lot of them don't know nothing about the suffering that our people had to go through. Like you said, a lot of them don't know who Malcolm is or know who Martin is today. They don't know who Marcus Garvey is, or even George Washington Carver or Harriet Tubman. If you throw those names up in there, you can go on and on. Some of these children don't who is that? They wouldn't know. That's because they're not being taught.
The teachers at the school told these fourth graders that this activist was controversial, violent, and bad.
And that's a lie.
That's the words that they used for Malcolm X. Why? Because Malcolm X wasn't speaking about being passive. And understand, I admire both leaders. And there's points that I agree with Martin, and there's points that I agree with Malcolm, but we all know that everything can't be run only one way. The reason why diversity is so important is because diversity makes the team project, makes the end result happen. Everybody needs to put a little bit of their own uniqueness in something for something to work. But how dare you, as a teacher who's paid for and voted in and all this other stuff, to be told or to be telling my child that because we feel he's bad, because we feel, I don't care if you don't like anything about the man. How many of these children have brought up, you know, some heavy metal rocker that they found to be an icon that they admire and was celebrated for it? Meanwhile, if you ever gone to a real heavy metal concert, they have snake biting off heads and devil worship and all sorts of things being put out on the stage as part of their act. You don't have the right to, but in the end, it all boils down to parents. And I'm glad that this school in particular, I'm happy to say that there was enough noise being made that at least it's being looked into.
And yeah,
one
parent
said,
and you know, there's another thing you have to look at.
One parent said she told her kid to write it anyway and turn it in. And dare that teacher to say something. And this is the thing. If this is what was to happen and all parents did that, and this teacher decided to give a bad grade to a well-presented project that chose Malcolm X, definitely there would be more proof that this teacher was being biased about it. There are one, mm-hmm. two, three more panelists coming in, and I do need to bring them in because the second half is going to be about the Nicki Minaj fiasco. So one second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Katie.
How are you doing, Darlene? Give me a minute. Let me bring the
other
thing.
Hey, Darlene.
Hi, DC.
How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks for asking.
All right.
Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Katie.
Hey, Arlene. Okay, one more.
Hey, Arlene.
Hi, Arlene.
Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Stalo. Yes, welcome Hello. Back.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey,
all
what's
right,
up, Stalo?
All right, Darlene, you got the mic up next.
Oh, boy. Here we go. I'm in total agreement with Zeke as far as the whole train with the Black history, because 9 times out of 10, children are not being taught the truth at any rate. And secondly, if I was Malcolm X family, one of Malcolm X family member, I would start a petition on that and get some signatures, because that basically whoever they're teaching them about it, as far as history is concerned, has some amount of streak of violence in them. That doesn't stop them from honoring Christopher Columbus and all the other people that was in place in those days and times in the slavery days. In other words, I'm saying that it's okay to tell them how they beat us, raped our parents, and what they did to us, and, you know, teach them about that. But then now you want to have some concerns about their mental stability, because it's going to affect them emotionally that he wasn't an upstanding citizen. Well, then they need to stop teaching about them and everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm with you on that one. I'm definitely with you on that one. And once again, I still bring it back to, you know, forget the race part of this at this moment. This goes back down to parents exercising their rights to fill in the blanks that the school system are deliberately leaving behind. We all know, we know what we are up against. It has been going on for years, just that now it's trying to resurface in different plateaus. But you as a parent still have the right to teach your child and tell your child what it is that the school systems are leaving behind. Precisely what we spoke about with making the comparisons about what it is. I think those of you that were on the panel yesterday, when we were speaking about the rights that a parent association has, okay, in the schools, there's a reason why parents associations are considered a separate yet joint entity, because the way that parents can run their own organization within the school system cannot be interfered with by the chancellor unless it poses some danger to the child itself. Okay, but the school system has legal ramifications if they do certain things. There's certain disciplines that can't happen. There's certain words that can't be said. Parents keep it real with each other. Parents keep it real with their children. Okay, this is what it is that we are allowed to do. If we don't make the noise, then yes, Black history will be exempt and eliminated and altered to what makes it acceptable to them.
And I just wanted to add a little bit more to that, and then I'll shut down. For example, as far as Deke was saying about the home training, how that can be put in place.
There's an echo effect. There's an echo effect.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you, but it's like an echo.
Oh, okay.
Are you standing next to your sister?
Can you hear me now?
Are you standing next to your sister?
No, well, I had you on speaker for a minute, and I turned
it off. It's still an echo.
Oh, Arlene, you got them on speaker?
No.
Okay, so let me move away from her. Yes. Well, you can tell I'm a little frustrated about the situation. And what I meant by is helping to prepare them is simply by this. When the child comes home and the parent can ask the child, what are you learning, or what would be your next assignment, or blah, 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 how you can prepare them, which would smack them in their face, is like really give them the history on the person that they're doing the history on. So that way the children can have questions for the teacher. Okay, when they try to make Christopher Columbus sound like he was an upstanding citizen, and the little child raised their hand. Imagine this, a little child raised their hand and go, but teacher, didn't Christopher Columbus kill some of the slaves and bring them across on the boat and threw people off the boat? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you teach the child some stuff, you know, and it's sad because they have to learn this kind of stuff so young. You understand about violence and death and raping our ancestors and blah, 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 but we cannot erase our history. It took place. It happened. And these people that they are being taught about are the ones who did this to them. So the part that they're not telling them is the part that you should be telling them. So when the teacher stands there and makes
make it appear that this guy that they're teaching them about is so upstanding. Maybe one of the children could raise their hand and go, but teacher, I was told, I was informed, or not that I heard, because, you know, it's basically what the parent is teaching them from out the book. Well, I read in so-and-so and so. Listen, our black children are smart as whips. I read in blah, 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 blah book that he did this and he did that. We need to get some black history books and stop playing and teach these kids some real history. Yes, Arlene?
Well, I agree across the board with, you know, basically DC, Deke, and Arlene. But I also feel that, you know, black history does not even come into play until February, and that's 30 days out of 365 days, or however many days the kids go to school. So for 30 days, they learn about a black person. You know what I mean? Because they're not really teaching them about black history. I think it's a little deeper than that. Why? Because you're a teacher doesn't mean you know your history or history, period. Your forte may be math or science or English or whatever. I feel like if they really taught black history, the teachers would really be the ones who would need to be sitting in the classroom chair and learning the history, because half of them probably don't even know. And once they have to teach it, then they will know. And once they know, then they know, and they start to see things differently. And then they become analytical as far as the educational system and what the curricula entails and things of that nature. And then you will have the teachers kind of like fighting against the educational system. So I think it's just, I think it's more than just them keeping the black history away from our kids. I think it's them keeping it away from the adults as well. Because, like I said, if you don't know, you don't know. You can't be accountable. But once you know, then you're accountable. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who feels that way. You know what I mean? And the like I said, out of 365 days, say the kids go to school 300 days out of the year. Black history is 30 freaking days. I mean, how much are they really, really going to learn in a classroom setting about black history in only 30 days? Because they're not learning it the other 300 days. I mean, 270 days. So what do you think is more powerful? What do you think is more impactful? What they learn in 30 days, they're being taught for 270 days.
Yeah, that's a real good point. Salo?
I mean, absolutely. I would agree totally. And I'm so glad that the show tonight is specifically pointing this fact out. And it's pointing to another thing that I think we need to look at ourselves as we're failing in. If we are to have a culture that's going to be viable, we have to have our own, you know, rights to knowledge, rights to passage. You know, we have to have our own holidays and things like that. I mean, we've had this, and from what I've been looking at lately, I feel like we've already had this journey as a people, you know, way back to where, you know, Carter G. Woodson established Black History Week for us, and which turned into the month of February, you know. But then It's like it's like a lot of us stopped taking it seriously. And the people that were taking it seriously were back then making the strides and giving us the resources and the knowledge that we have now. And we now, it's like we need this Google age right now, because most of us don't even have the concern or the knowledge of things, things black right now, you know, just getting it from public schools. So right now, we as adults need to be studying up and starting to help create the new culture. You know, at the end of the day, when I was in Mexico doing some studies in Mexico, one thing that I did find, when I talked to the native people there that had been settled there for over 20,000 years, the same tribe of people, they...
I can't understand with the background noise somewhere. I can't understand what he's saying.
They said that one of the things that kept them from being totally overtaken, even though they kept going through different things, societally, was that they had their own calendar. They had their own rites and rituals that they recognized no matter what. And so for some, that kept a sense of their own nationalism, their own ethnicity, you know. And we just go along with the United States. We celebrate holidays that have no relevance to us. And we are dropping the ball, even though it's been given to us. The scholars, College of Wits, and the rest of them have already given us little things. Martin Luther King Day, they forced these things upon them, you know.
Right.
And we just don't keep it up.
That's true. I do have to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to go to part two of this topic tonight, which is the controversial use of Comex's iconic photo by Nicki Minaj. So when we get back, I want to speak on that aspect of it. Going out with Charlie Wilson and My Love Is All I Have, when we get back, we'll continue this discussion, okay? Don't go away.
Hello, do you have a minute? I noticed you from across the room. Excuse me, miss, don't take this wrong. I couldn't resist that smile and those beautiful eyes. I can see that you wear fancy clothes and drive a fancy car. Your hair did and your nails done, looking like a superstar. Can I take you out? Cause there's something that I wanna say to you. My love is all I have to give. Love's for real. All I have, baby, I have to give. Oh, oh. Account with seven figures, and I may not have a sailboat and a big old mansion, oh no, but I do know how to love you, baby, and in my own way, I'm rich as hell. I really hope that none of this don't matter, and I hope that you don't judge a man by his status. Wondering if you and I can get together and know each other better. And I promise you, I'll give my all and make my heart your passion. I give you all. I have to give.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. We are in the middle of a discussion speaking on two newsworthy, or I should say, front page news articles regarding an elementary school in Flushing, Queens, New York, that has denied or tried to deny their students from writing about Malcolm X on a subject in Black History Month. And now we are going to be speaking on part two, which is Nicki Minaj, controversial artist, I don't know if we call her rapper or singer or R&B or whatever it is, but we know that she is surrounded by controversy at all times, be it her get-up, her stage niche, whatever it is that she does. Now, in my opinion, she's gone too far with promoting a controversial video using the legendary Malcolm X's iconic photo of him standing guard for his family with an AK-47 in her video, which the video with the clips that they have offered shows her pretty much looking into the eyes of black men and pointing guns at them, promoting violence against them based on the clips, as well as, of course, you know, pushing up her sexual overtones with it. So a lot of that has been under fire with even her own fans. Now we are dealing with two things. A, she had what I believe was her publicist or her public relations people that put out a Twitter apology, which really sounded more like, okay, all right, I cut you, here's a Band-Aid, let's keep it moving. And now the official apology has come forth, which still is not holding water with a lot of people. So my question tonight is, have we gotten to the point where everyone who is icons or successful black icons in the entertainment industry are becoming pretty much the weapon that they use to do like a community mass destruction with our own successful icons, quote unquote? That's the question on the table tonight. Frankly, I believe that her use of this photo, I don't care what it was for, was not the thing to choose for uplifting or promoting any type of video in this field, as well as we saw on Facebook that there was a club trying to promote what they call Freedom Night by using Martin Luther King's photo with bling and all sorts of you know, sag and pants type situations, which got canceled and got removed from promotion circulation. So now this is where we're at with yet another artist in the black American community using or going to such lengths to promote another project of theirs. This is a problem. So bringing our panelists back in to get their opinion one at a time. One second. DC, are you back?
Yeah, I am.
All right, one second. Deacon, are you back?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Darlene?
Yes, dear.
Arlene?
I am here.
Okay, Stalo?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, there's a little noise in your background, then, so try to control that part, please. And we actually have a new panelist in, so one second, let me bring them in. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Katie?
Hi, who am I speaking with?
This is Hakeem.
Hello, Hakeem.
Yay.
Yay, you made it. Good, Hakeem. You are first on the panel for this segment.
I was listening.
All right. So what's your take on Nicki Minaj's use of Malcolm X's iconic photo for promotions of her video?
Well, he is looking.
Oh, come on now.
You know what? I think that was a brilliant publicity stunt, and I think everybody fell for it. I did not watch that video. Like, I saw her face in browsing, and I said, I wasn't looking at that. That's not quite what I look for in music. So I passed it. Not until an ex-football player who's on my news on football on Facebook, he put it up saying he was disappointed. And then I saw it, and then I looked more into it. But the first, when the video went up first, it didn't have the picture associated with it. That picture came up after there was crickets, probably, and she didn't get the hits that she wanted on the video. Then that came up. It was a plan. To me, it was a plan. And they did a really good job, if you want to look just at, you know, getting people to talk about it. Because once you hear it, you know that the lyrics, as far as hip-hop is concerned, she nails it. She nails the lyrics. And if you're looking at it from a perspective of a young person who listens to cyphers and listens to battle rappers, she was going there. And if you look at it from an old-school hip-hop perspective, that was Who Shot Ya in a visual format with a woman doing it. And she's like, and Nas had a song called Made You Look. That's the same thing. She just did it with her body, and she did it with the guns. She was saying, I shot you. Now you're stuck, and now you got to listen to the rest of my album because you know what you just heard just now was crazy. The rest of it was controversy to get those older, like you was talking about, that 40, 50, or 40s and 50 generation to listen to it and talk about it and not like it, but their children are saying that it's hot. And so I'm not quite sure what part of the fence you guys are lying on, but to me it's like, as a people, if we continue to react, then they're going to continue to lead you in any direction they want, because we're falling for it every time. But not everybody is. It's just when something happens, you get to see who, all those people who are just going to work and doing everything and trying to be good, like you was talking about, those are the people who are falling for these kind of tricks. And then money gets made.
Hakeem,
I
agree totally with what you just said. It was a brilliant publicity stunt. But now let me tell you this. I don't give a damn what she was thinking or how brilliant she was. That wasn't the thing to do. If you're that brilliant and you know that controversy sells and you know you're going to get all these knee-jerk reactions, listen, as far as I'm concerned, if you sitting up there practically nude when you pose in every picture, if that's not enough controversy, then, lady, make your records more hot. Because, frankly, I was forced to watch a clip of the video because I was actually watching an activist that was talking against it on a YouTube video, and he happened to include that as part of the slideshow in the YouTube video. So it sort of came up. And just a little two-minute clip that I saw was disgusting in all by all means to me. Malcolm X was standing, guarding his life from, A, the people on the outside, as well as his own Islamic people that were coming after him, defending his own. How dare you? I don't care how brilliant a stunt it was. You have a damn responsibility as somebody that children are looking up to, even if you do choose to be a garbage person as your controversial, whatever the case is. There's just certain things you don't cross the line with. And now
it's obvious that they don't feel the same way. And if you guys know anybody, I know you guys are not like from the streets, and neither am I. But I got cousins and friends, and I see how they, like, I'll say, you know what, well, you're not supposed to become angry. You're not supposed to fight. You know, God doesn't like this. And they're like, what? If you're not gonna smoke, just pass the blunt.
That's garbage that the leaders of the church say. Because yes, we're not supposed to become angry, but to act on it. Now, you can't say that because God allowed all of these feelings to be a part of humanity. It's what it is that we are tested with when we're taught these things that God wants you to learn on how to deal with it. What I'm saying to you is, regardless to what it is, when does anybody start getting angry enough to say that as much as you're on the edge and you're over the cliff and you're doing whatever, Malcolm X was not something that you use in this type of mess, because now these young children are believing that Malcolm X was violent.
those white people that are out there saying this thing, this woman, this dummy, is giving these people the credence to support that theory. Absolutely not. Whatever that is,
background interference, and we need to get it cleared up. Come on now, let's be respectful. We know that this is a radio broadcast and that we're going to be on here, so would you please take care of it? Thank you.
There is absolutely no excuse for that. We have enough problems with seeing all of the people that our people actually have in aid. And, well, the sad thing is that when we speak of black success stories, very rarely do you see people speaking about the black entrepreneurs or the people that own, you know, business magazines or a corporation somewhere. Pretty much society tends to believe that black success stories land in the sports leagues and in the entertainment industry. So because that's what we're forced to watch all the time, that's pretty much what everybody associates with success in black America. And the whole point is these black American iconic people need to understand that there is just so much that you really have to put into the field of saying, don't go there, as a person that's not being led by the people who would like to see this happen.
Yeah.
Now, I don't care if this woman wants to walk around thinking that she's a prostitute for hire, but not for hire. That's on her. If you want to walk around and think that's the way to do, that's your personal belief. But when you start things that our ancestors suffered from, that a man that sat there and had to dodge bullets from all people to give us a chance to learn how to be people, to use it for this type of garbage, brilliant stunt or not, and this, and understand, Hakeem, I'm biting her, not you, okay? I'm snapping at her, not you.
I definitely got that.
Absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. There's girls out there thinking, oh, my God, Nicki Minaj is really cool because, you know what, she says all this stuff and she does all these things and I like the way she dressed, and, yes, she's just crazy.
Mm.
And it's up to us, those of us that are not from the streets, to sit there and go, you know what, I know that looks cool and everything, but understand, she's taking this person and explaining to these kids what that person stood for.
Ridiculous.
How far does she need to go since she's supposed to be the hottest thing and the queen of rap or whatever it is? If you've got this title, how much more do you need? And how far are you willing to go? And how much are you going to fall yourself out with? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anybody could proclaim themselves, like all rappers are trying to be the best, so they all say that they are anything. She's getting promotion. She has a team behind her. She joined the team. Because if you see her before she started, she wasn't thinking of none of this stuff that she's doing right now before she started. She had a desire, and she probably went real hard, and the people felt they could work with her, and they turned her into what she is now.
Exactly. That's what the video that I posted yesterday spoke specifically about. About the fact that supposedly she came from a bad home setting, and to, you know, be able to eat and live, she went to the New York City.
I can't hardly understand you. There's some static coming from somewhere. I can hardly understand you.
So she went to, you know, she went to the New York Public School, High School of Arts, and she wanted to be an actress. And she was discovered, I don't know by who or for what reason, but she took her desire to be an actress and started, you know, this singing career. And she, you know, walked around for the first half, well, really two-thirds of her career, she's walked around looking like some cartoon character brought to life with all these crazy hairdos, and she got butt implants, and, you know, she's letting the people who promote her take away her validity to the African-American community because they've changed her in something that is so abstractly strange that
it's nothing.
That's me as a 50-plus
hero. I can't hear Nicki Minaj's message because I don't want to look at her, you know, expanded behind or her breast implants or her orange hair. I don't want to see her in public, you know, degrading another sister, Mariah Carey, the American Idol. You know, I don't want to be related to her in any form or fashion. That being said, I definitely don't want her to take the image of any type of Ionic African-American that helped our community come forward and use it in any form or fashion, whether it was for the recoil effect or whether it was to reach the younger generation. I can't buy into Nicki Minaj at all for all those reasons, and I can see I yield the floor. Thank you.
You know, this Nicki Minaj thing is okay, I don't agree with nothing that she does, but you know what? She's not too much different from Beyonce or Jay-Z because they're basically doing the same thing. If you look at some of the things that Beyonce does, she kind of, she basically spits on the memories of some of our Black history and also spits on the word of God. It goes against, well, we know what their thing is that Illuminati bullcrap. You know, they're off into that devil worship thing. And a lot of them have sold their souls to the devil. That's basically what it is. And a lot of us in today's society are missing and not paying attention to these signs that are steady being thrown at us that's right in our face, but we're not paying no attention to it because we're being distracted to this other crap that they have going on over here. And that's exactly what they want. They want to pull us away from the real things that are happening. And what's happening is they're corrupting our younger generation, in which we, as the elder statesmen of our generation, should be stepping in and picking up the ball that we dropped.
Yeah.
You know, okay, go ahead.
There's a new panelist coming in. I wanted to make sure that they get a chance to speak. So just give me a second.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
How you doing, Katie? This is Patrick.
Hey, Patrick. Hi.
Come on.
You need to come in. Okay. Go ahead. You got the floor, dude.
Oh, I didn't want to interrupt the deacon. He was on the roll.
It's in the lounge. You got to scroll down.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let deacon finish his choice, and then you'll have the floor right after. Okay. I'm sorry. Finish it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. As I was saying, is that we have a younger generation that is coming up, and that we're starting to lose our excuse me. Our greatness from our ancestors and our past leaders, that what they have left us, we're starting to lose that. And we can't do that. We have to start pulling our own selves up by our own bootstraps and stop depending on government or anybody else to pull us out of the crap that we are in. We have to pull our own selves out of that.
Absolutely.
You know, it's that the thing that brought us over here in the first place to a foreign land that we knew nothing about, right? But God has blessed us to get enough knowledge to pull ourselves up on out of this, and it seems like more and more we start taking backward steps. The more he tries to push us forward, we want to go backwards. And that's
right.
Not the right way to be. We need to take a step back and take a look at ourselves. Anytime we want to talk about somebody else, what somebody else is doing over here, go to the damn dollar store and get a mirror. And anytime you want to talk about somebody, take that mirror out your pocket and look at yourself.
Amen.
That was definitely strong, Lee. But you know what, Katie? First of all, you have to be able to embrace your black to respect your black.
Yeah.
And we're talking about somebody who's young and dumb, first of all. And then we're also talking about somebody who bathes in Clorox. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Wow.
Nicki don't have a black bone in her body, in her mind. You understand? And in order for you to respect our black leaders and the impact that they had on our nation and our lives on an individual basis and how they sacrificed their lives to give us opportunities that we would never have had they not did what they did, you know, but you have to embrace that first. And if you notice, Nicki is not embracing her black. She's like three shades lighter, three or four shades lighter than she was when she first started out.
Yes.
She put in the butt, she's put in the breast, and she's doing everything that the industry basically wants her to do. So
she's
getting all upset and all in arms because, yeah, I saw the clip and I heard the gentleman who was narrating and it made me sick to my stomach. But you know what? Look who we talking about. A nobody.
A
nothing.
And even
a frame, a shell of a human being. She has other than her ass and her breast, she got nothing going for herself. You understand what I'm saying? And we getting up in arms about a freaking idiot.
I'm going to address that point in a minute, but I do want to give our new panelist his shot. Go ahead, Patrick.
All right. I wanted to, about the Nicki's, the video itself, I was actually sent the video from a connect because I used to actually ghostwrite in the industry, and I've actually been a part of the industry on a major level. And so there were... I got sent the video by somebody from the industry that was telling me, you know, check this out. You won't believe what was just released from this studio. And I was taken aback by it initially because here was this lady in the video talking about, look at y'all, you know, being fake, telling lies, this, that, and third. And the first thing popped in my mind was, everything about this chick is fake, and she's calling other people out for being fake. Like, she's had breast implants, lip implants, butt implants, skin lightening, fake hair, fake eyebrows. You know, like, those aren't her lyrics. That isn't her beat. That isn't her song. She didn't, like, everything about the package is fake, but you're yelling at other people about being fake. So once I got past that, I began to think about the historical context that the industry is going in as a whole. And all of that, if you really look at the evolution of music, it all really goes back to, I don't know if you guys have heard of the Kerner Commission Report, which it was a report commissioned in the late 60s by, I think it was President Johnson, to look at the race riots they were having at the time. And what they found was, even though black people at that time didn't have advanced forms of education, they still had a high political IQ. Well, what was the source of their political IQ? The music. Now, fast forward, right around about the 70s or 80s, when the hip-hop community or the black music scene really started to prove that it was a financially viable sector, you start seeing big corporations jump in, you start seeing black music leave the hands and control of black people and come into the hands and controls of people that were not black. And you also, then you begin to see the dumbing down of the music. And if you look at that too, it coincides with the 60s, there were the race riots. The 70s, you still have some residuals from the 60s. The 80s, you still have black people still trying to hold on to that consciousness, that Afrocentricity that had invaded the U.S. But it was starting to die down via all of the wars that had been imposed on black people by the government via the war on drugs. You started seeing the emergence of the war on the black female really taking shape, the war on the black male really taking shape. So it was starting to die down. And around about that time, you start really seeing the music die down to the level that it's at now. And there was a paper that I was reading not too long ago as I was preparing for something that actually had listed out that every time there was a major race riot, the number one record in the country was a politically conscious record.
Wow.
And I'm going to try and find that and post it on the page in the group so you guys can look at it. But it was amazing to look at. Every time there was a riot or any type of major movement in the country, there was the number one record for, in the black community was a politically or socially conscious record. And then you look at what happened with Trayvon Martin, and then you think, well, the number one record at the time, I think, was Lollipop or something or another like that. And then you look at what's happening with Nicki Dunn, Michael Dunn and whatnot, and you have Nicki Minaj being the top artist at the time. And then you look at all of the recent events that have happened towards black culture, and then you look at towards black people, and then you look at the number one records at the time, and those records are always something that could pull you as far away from caring about what's really going on as possible. But the Kerner Commission report is really where this video took me to, because just like Katie said, you do start to feel like, and it does look like, and I believe it really is happening, and I've experienced it to a certain level, when you reach a certain point, you hit a glass ceiling. And in order to punch through that glass ceiling, you are asked to, in effect, kamikaze your people. And if you don't choose to launch a missile at black people, poor people, minorities, or whatever you want to call them, if you don't choose to launch a missile at them, you hit that glass ceiling and you will never break through. And that's why you have artists like Talib Kweli, who's been doing it for almost 20 years and has never had a major breakthrough. You have artists like Common, who didn't have a breakthrough until he really linked up with Kanye West and dumbed his style down a little bit. You have all these artists and all these examples of this where it's like, okay, if you do this, we'll give you the world. All we're asking you to do is make one little record to distract people. Just stop talking about stuff that's going to move them and start talking about stuff that's going to get them to move their behind.
Absolutely, Patrick. And you know what? Think, touching on what you said with regards to how, you know, the music is changing, evolving, all the politically, soaked records that's been out that keeps us involved with current events and things like that. Think about all of, I believe maybe it was the 80s or the 90s even, all of the black political groups that were out that paid it in, the members are now involved with today's garbage. For example, NWA, y'all remember them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, NWA, as straight out as it was, you know, the F the police, I remember this like it was yesterday. There was a gentleman or some kids in my neighborhood at the time that was playing this their song, F the Police, on a boombox on the corner in front of a grocery store. They were minding their business. There was no drugs involved, nothing. Police officer walked by and told them, turn that down. Okay, so that's one. That other groups that were out there, but look at the situation. Where's Dr. Dre right now? Dr. Dre is not out there promoting black empowerment. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was the only one still sitting in the mix of trying to say something. Eazy-E is dead. I don't even know where MC Ren is anymore. And the other two, Arabian Prince and DJ Yella, you don't hear anything of them anymore.
Dr. Dre is selling Beats headphones, you know, and trying to make money that way. MC Light is still out there, but she's not outspoken like she used to be.
Dr. Dre is also pushing Eminem.
You don't hear about there was a young lady that was a rapper. Her name was Sister Soldier.
Yeah.
You don't hear about her anymore. It seems like she just, you know, just disappeared. And it's y'all listening to the wrong ways. She just came out with a new book. Who did? Sister Soldier. She just came out with a series. Oh, yeah? A group of books. She has like 4 books. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Talking about herself. Talking about herself and her struggles and things that have said. Look at what was this guy? KRS-One? And
KRS-One.
Yeah, and his wife, that she was a militant as well. You know, you had female rappers that were speaking about things. Do you guys remember when the gang violence was getting so bad that a group of rap artists got together? They were called, what were they? But they made a song called Self Destruction.
Yeah.
And they had all of the hottest rappers at the time, you know, doing their thing.
Yeah,
you know?
KRS-One was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember MC Light being on there. I remember they had Miss Melody. I remember they had KRS-One. All of them got together to do this group project against, you know, the political problems and everything. Take a look at Grandmaster Flash. He spoke about drug use and white lines. Just look at all the other things that was going on to promote positivity and advancement was shut down. Some scandal came up.
You haven't heard
something
that
they're talking about.
And the thing is, like the brother was just saying, these people are still trying to speak. Like KRS-One is still trying to speak. The problem is, not all of them are still trying to speak, obviously. Some of them have quieted down. Some of them have just shut up completely. But I know KRS-One is still actively out there trying. The problem is they have effectively snatched the mic away from their mouths. They're not mainstream anymore. You gotta find KRS-One. I mean, you gotta go to Google and type in KRS-One and search for him. You're not going to hear a KRS-One speech on the what's going on in Black America, browsing through the news. You're not going to see it in a magazine. You're definitely not going to hear it on the radio. You gotta search for this type of stuff, and that's the decision that you have to make. You can take the money, take the fame, be out there in the spotlight. If you play ball, if you don't, make your own way. An interesting thing that you mentioned, Ice Cube, is that Ice Cube funds and produces a lot of his own projects.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to shut a brother up that's doing his own thing with his own money.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, he's independent. We have a new panelist, and there's like 16 minutes left, so I'm going to bring them in. Hang on 1 second. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, welcome to the show. How you guys doing?
All right.
Hey, I want to say, can I say something right quick? I've been listening to you guys, and you all are making a valid point. Do you guys remember Tupac?
Oh yes,
of course.
You guys, he's known as the rapper Tupac. To us, he's known as the Honorable Prophet Tupac Amaru Shakur. I want to say that he foresaw a lot of this stuff before he died. Before he was executed, he saw a lot of this stuff, especially what we're talking about today. Has the entertainment industry used our Black people as a destruction tool for our Black community? Absolutely, they have. Absolutely, they have. See, as we was taught by Tupac, and he was teaching us at the time that we were in CD effects of it in the early 90s, late 90s. We wouldn't see the effects of it in the early 2000s, but we would definitely see the effect and feel the effect of it in today's day as we're in right now. Like I was saying, but he was trying to
foreign us. Somebody's creating noise in the background and needs to stop, please. Thank you.
he was trying to forewarn us about the conversation that we're talking about right now. And but we didn't listen to him. You see what I'm saying? Because, like I say, as far as to the world is concerned, he's just known as a rapper. To his students, he's known as a prophet. And as the prophet was trying to tell us these things, he also told us how our black community in itself would handle this situation. We want to blame it on white people. For example, the white executives of Sony, the white executive of Capitol Records, the white executive that buying out Death Row and all of these other rap labels and buying out all of these rap artists. We want to blame it on them. But what we must do is not point the finger at a people that don't even understand our culture. We have to point the finger at the people of our culture, because I'm also an artist. And as an artist, I know better. I know better than put my pen to a pad and write a song about killing people. I know better about putting my pen to a pad and writing songs about women being, calling women derogative names and calling them names out of their character. I should know better. But see, the thing is that though we all know better as an artist, what we finna get ready to write, it's not the teachers of us knowing better that's keeping us from writing it. It's that green money. It's that money that's making us write it. Not the people, not white people. It's money. Money. That is the problem. Our black successful artists, they have white people ain't using them to destroy us. Black people are using themselves to destroy us. Because as long as them black folk know that they can write music to keep us in limbo, just put it like this. As long as black folk know that they can get off on other black people, they will do whatever they can to get off on you. You know that from being in your neighborhood. Somebody, if they know that you put one over you, then they'll do what they can to put one over you. That's the same thing about running a major business. That's the same thing about being in the entertainment business. It's mostly black people that's listening to Young Jeezy. It's mostly black people that's listening to Gucci Mane. So Gucci Mane major money is not coming from white people. It's coming from black people. And they're writing songs about killing, selling dope, see what I'm saying? Having money, having cars, having things. I just say this right here, is that black people are using themselves to destroy us because they have come to a point of making this for themselves. And as long as they found a way to make substance for themselves, ain't nothing going to stop me and my money. It's money, 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 money. It's not the right people.
I got to say this. Say this, brother. I want you to think about something. Very few African Americans are investing money in record labels and in any other type of media that goes out to the African Americans. Who is investing it? Who is making it possible for it to go out to the
exactly.
masses? All right? You need to think about that. All right?
Yeah, you got what you call distribution. See, the white folks ain't putting money in distribution. Black people are putting money in themselves. Black people are investors. We have the mind to invest. We are investing our money in areas and fields that would get us to a point where we need to be. So what you're trying to say is white people are have the distribution companies, so therefore white people are the ones that's putting it out. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When black people finally come together and see what our music is doing to our community, then we will take that into consideration and put out positive music for our people. Then white folks ain't telling black people to write music killing each other.
We ain't telling them to write American history in the school books either. They won't invest their money in that, but they will invest their money in a Death Row record. They'll invest their money in crack cocaine to make my brothers and sisters crazy. They'll invest their money in things like that. All right? Yes, I agree with you as saying that black people need to think for themselves and not kill themselves their own pen. But they can't do it unless the white man is giving them money to do it. That's the setup, brother.
But look, though, brother, what I'm telling you is these people ain't poor. These are multimillionaires we're talking about. Now what they can do for themselves, now they don't even have to have the white man no more. These are multimillionaires we're talking about. Young Jeezy, a multimillionaire. Gucci Man, a multimillionaire. Waka Flocka, multimillionaire. So you see what I'm saying? Can you feel me what I'm saying? They don't need the white people money no more.
Let me tell you something. I gotta disagree with that one.
Let me tell you something. We can all talk together, but we can all sing together, but we can't talk at the same time.
Yeah, if I'm a multimillionaire, I don't need
the
money.
I'm going to tell you that I disagree with the fact that there's no blame on white people. The music industry is not run by black people. But I will say that we are being utilized to make their biggest bread. Why? Because if you put up an icon of a black American up as the front runner of something, definitely we are going to be iconicized by it and run out in support. That's my argument with our community. That we are allowing our culture, the very ones that they will degrade us for, to be used in their as their biggest moneymaker. And us knowing this will go out and fund this for them. But the bottom line at the end of all that is this. When do we start saying, hell no, not enough? When do we start saying, as much as that you're an icon for me, that's going too far? When do we start saying that there are certain things that are ours and only ours and belong to us and need to be sacred to a point?
And exactly right.
When do we start saying that? When do we start saying that? When do we start saying, oh, really, Jay-Z? You want to go get into bed with Barney, but Barney's just saying that your people are not worthy enough of having credit to come and shop with us, and you want to fund, give them more money by building a line of clothing in their store that they can run? But those same people that are bigging you up are going to be the same ones that can't even stand in line to go buy that clothing line from their store. When do we say that? As much as we can point fingers on certain very, very, very real things, at the same time, when do we stop complaining about it and start saying, hell no, I'm taking that and I'm going down the block? And when do artists who do have, like you just said, brother, you're an artist and you know when to start making a choice to go, no, I'm not going to do that. Patrick, you're involved with the industry. When do we start saying that the money is not worth my dignity or my soul or selling my people out? When does that happen?
When you got love for your people? When you got love, when you start loving your people? See, as long as you ain't got no love for your people, you're going to continue to destroy your people.
No. Forget loving your people as a person that can make a decision, as a person that's penning the lyrics, as a person that's doing the singing and performing that's going to be the fallback person. How about saying that me as an artist, listen, Linda Carter, you all know who she is, right? Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman made this statement. She will never in her life take her clothes off in a movie to be in any movie, no matter how much it costs. Or how much you paid, because she was married to her husband and she refused to give that away, no matter what the perceptions were. And she never did. There's nobody on this earth that could say they ever saw Linda Carter take her clothes off in a movie. Why can't there be anybody out there saying the same damn thing? When does one person say, I'm not going to be the one to fall with the group, even if it means I won't get that instant big money up front? Everybody has a choice to make it. Everybody can make choices.
That's right.
Maybe it's not about love for the people right away. The love for the people is us sitting up there going, wait a minute, this person is using the black struggle but is not giving the black struggle a damn bit of relief while he's up there able to do it.
Yeah, it's like these black preachers feeding off the black people, and it's like these black rappers feeding off the black people. Man, you know there's people struggling in the ghetto. I came up out the ghetto. You know there's poor black people in our communities. I was one of those poor black people in the community. But this is what I'm saying, though. See, they know that. But yet, though, go buy the album. I got money throwing out the ceiling. If you got money falling out the ceiling, that money should be going to that little kid who ain't got no shoes on his feet. You see what I'm saying? I feel what you're saying, that white people are funding a lot of what we black people are doing. But if us black people that are being funded by them sit back and say, you know what, I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to give y'all nothing to fund anymore that's going to destroy my people, then those people will have nothing to fund anymore. But as long as we keep saying, yeah, I want y'all to fund this, then they're going to continue to keep funding it. They ain't going to turn a rapper can make $1 million, and then that company that's investing their money in that rapper turn around and make $5 million. So you think until you tell us not to, that we're not going to invest in you? If I can say I can make a $5 million turnaround, and you make $1 million turnaround, I'm going to continue to keep investing $1 million in you. If I'm going, that's like the drug game. You see what I'm saying? So they only, I don't know, sister. I just think, man, that black people need to wake up and realize what they're doing to our community. That's what I'm going to say.
First of all, you're talking about people who got some morals and values about themselves. Because without morals and values in place, you're not going to say, I have a limit to what I will and will not do.
That's what I'm
so
saying.
You're talking about
people,
a lot of young people who don't give a damn about themselves. See, later for loving somebody else, you got to love yourself first.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
And then they prey on the kids who had hard lives and drug this and was drug dealers mm-hmm. or on the street and this, that, and the other. And they see, brainwashing is very strong and very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. You take a child that ain't had nothing, had maybe some skips with holes in them and some jeans with some holes in them, and you tell them, you know what, if you do everything I tell you to do, you can have that and that and that and that and that and that and that. Understand what I'm saying? And that's mm-hmm. how they get them. They brainwash them. If you look at all the artists, they young. They are young people. Like the oldest one is that foolish JB right about now, who's like really into the dope. And JB, he can't have no much love for himself because the way he do his people, he have no love. You understand? So I'm talking about somebody that values something, that believes in something like you. You understand? That's why you can say, I'm not going to do this. That's why Linda Carter could say, I ain't got to take my clothes off, because she has some morals and she has some values about herself. And those are things that these kids do not have. And people who are overseeing them know that and are aware of their weaknesses, and they play on all of those weaknesses. And then they get them into a situation where there's no turning back. Because now you don't got comfortable. You got your hoopty. You got your house. Your family is eating right. You don't got mom's a house. Mom is in the projects. You understand? And now it's you can't go back and say, well, Ma, I don't want to sing no more. You got to move out.
But
okay, guys, we're down to our last 2 minutes, so I have to bring those segments to a close.
I'd like to just give a little bit to that.
For the most part. Hello? I have got to bring this segment to a close. There's 1 minute left, okay? And I need all
really?
Of you. Well, I will say, I thank all of you for joining. A new caller, what is your first name so that I can say thank you at the end of the night?
Al.
Hi, Al. Welcome to the show, and thank you very much for your input tonight. The bottom line is, as far as teachers telling our kids what they can't do, parents step up and make sure you keep your voices heard and filling those blanks. As far as celebrities.
Yes, I think she got cut.
Uh-oh.
That's right. So we're going to overtime ourselves.
Talk, right?
I just want to say one word, blackball. You don't play blackball. That's how that goes. You don't.
Yeah, that was all of you. Cut it out. Listen,
all right.
as far as celebrities being in a position to do something better and choosing to go with the flow and not with what a give back to the community is, that is something that's on their personal choice, regardless of the pressures of what comes up. Maybe if you stop chasing the instant dollar and start thinking about long-term investments that's going to actually pay off in a better way, we won't have any issues. So until tomorrow night, actually Sunday night, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. Please join us for the 2014 So You Think You Can Sing non-winners, but winners in my mind. We will all be here with them to give them a chance to talk about all the struggles that they're going through in the world of industry. So thank you all very much. God bless you, and I will see you all here on Sunday night.
All right.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I got you.
Bye.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.